Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Please open in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to entitle this, Don't Ignore Your Conscience. Somebody's conscience got them immediately. Don't ignore your conscience. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, that is, your wife, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Last week I spoke on prayer. Job, when he was being attacked by his friends, was one of his arguments to establish his relationship with God. He said, will he always call upon God? That prayer is something that we should continually be doing. We know prayer works. There's no doubt from the Bible that God answers prayers. Philip Brooks said that prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold on his willingness. Abraham prayed for a son, and God gave him a posterity like the sands of the sea, his descendants. Jacob prayed for a favorable reception from Esau. He got it. Moses prayed for forgiveness of the people. Gideon prayed God to overthrow the Midianites. Elijah prayed, and God answered by fire. Joshua prayed, and Achan and his sin was discovered. Hannah prayed, and Samuel was born. Hezekiah prayed, and 185,000 Assyrians died. Daniel prayed, and the lions were muzzled. The apostles prayed, and the Holy Spirit came down. Luther prayed, and the Reformation was the result, along with others praying. John Knox prayed, and Scotland tumbled. Brainerd prayed, and the Indians were converted. And Wesley prayed, and millions were moved towards the kingdom. And Whitfield prayed, and thousands were saved. And Finney prayed, and revivals resulted. Mr. Mueller, the man for establishing orphanages, prayed, and more than $7 million were sent to him to feed the orphans. Taylor, the missionary, prayed in Great China, and the mission was born. Prayer, we believe in it. We know it works. But we're told that we can have our prayers hindered. And so I want to entitle this, Don't Ignore Your Conscience. He says that treating your wife without honor, which your conscience should tell you you're doing that. But if you ignore your conscience when you're not treating your wife right, he says that your prayers can be hindered. I thought it was interesting because he refers to Sarah, and he talks about don't treat your wife wrong. Your prayers can be hindered. And then I began to think of Abraham, her husband. Was there ever a time when he didn't honor her? I believe there was. When Abram thought of his own skin versus his wife's, and he said to her, now listen, we're in a strange land, and if because you're so beautiful, they may want to take you off, so you, and then they'll want to kill me. And I don't want to die. So I want you to say you're my sister, which was a half-truth, but he was not honoring her. And surely she was taken away as he had thought would happen. But I thought it rather interesting, if you read the life of Abram, God comes to him to tell him of being a great father. God comes to him about Lot and how God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read of his prayer life. We read of Abram praying on the way, I'm sure, to sacrifice his son Isaac. But during that little space of time, when Sarah is taken, you don't find God communicating with Abram. I believe his prayers were hindered. It took a heathen king, Abimelech, to come, and God had to speak to him through a heathen king rather than God speaking to him himself. I hope I'm not reading more into it than I should. But I want to title the message, Don't Ignore Your Conscience. The scriptures have laid great importance upon the conscience. And before I begin to look at those passages, let me quote what others have said about the conscience. Mark Twain said, a clear conscience is the sure sign of a bad memory. I don't believe that's true. If you come to Jesus and have your sins forgiven, you can have a sense of forgiveness. But I see his wit behind it. George Washington said, labor to keep alive in your breast that little spark of celestial fire called conscience. Martin Luther, it is neither right nor safe to go against my conscience. Conscience is what makes a boy tell his mother before his sister does. Cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politically correct? And vanity comes along and asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? I came up with my own little quotation. I wrote it down. If you're arguing with your conscience to be victorious, surrender. Let your conscience win. Don't ignore your conscience. Paul has strong words concerning conscience. He lets us know if conscience is ignored, then don't be surprised if you're not hearing from God. As I mentioned, Abram didn't treat his wife right, and as a result, it's that one time when God had to speak to him through a heathen king. Last week on prayer, I said from the text, will he always call upon God? Why do people quit praying? There can be many reasons why people quit praying, but one of them is, I don't think it's working. I don't think my prayers are working. And the Bible teaches there could be many things that one needs to keep in mind when your prayers don't seem to be answered. We're encouraged to have the attitude of the woman with the unjust judge because of her importunity. But sometimes you keep praying and you get discouraged and you don't have the importunity. It could be that you have ignored your conscience, and that is why your prayers are being hindered. We talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, how much we need Him, and that we do. We talk about, oh, how we need Jesus, and that we do. But the Holy Spirit needs our conscience to guide us and to guide our soul. There will be no guidance if the conscience is ignored. One's heart or one's spirit and one's conscience are often referring to the same thing. And all the time we make emphasis on Jesus or the Holy Spirit, Oh, we put our attention on Jesus and Holy Spirit, I need you, I need you, I need you, but we ignore our conscience. Please do not ignore your conscience, because the Holy Spirit uses the conscience to guide your soul. How do we ignore our conscience? Let's say you're going to go pray. I believe you should always examine yourself first. If you don't examine yourself, you may be wasting your time when you pray. Where am I coming from? You should examine yourself first. And when you do examine yourself, let's say you wake up in the morning and something may be bothering you. Don't ignore your conscience. And oftentimes we ignore our conscience, and it's the very instrument that is to be used by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 5:23, if you come to the altar. Why do we go to the altar? We go to the altar to pray, or we go to give something, but it's still to connect to the Lord. And Jesus said, if you remember that your brother is upset at you, or is odd against you, or your conscience is disturbing you, in other words, don't pray. No, don't pray. Don't ignore your conscience. Go make it right, and then pray. The Holy Spirit uses our conscience to guide us. If you were going to enter a forest, any forest around here? I remember when I was gold panning, I found a forest on the way to Santa Cruz. But allow me to use the illustration of a forest. If you wanted to enter it, you need a path. If it's just a forest, you can't get through it. If there is no path, there is a blockage, and you'll be having a rough time until you find a path. You don't make any progress. May I say, the path is what we call our conscience. And in order to have effective prayer, there must not be anything between you and God for your prayers to be effective. If your conscience is alive to God, and if you hear that your enemy is hurting, if your conscience is right, you'll start hurting for him. If your conscience is not as it should be, good. Ha ha. Didn't like you anyway. No, Jesus said, love your enemies. If our conscience is right, and if Christ be in us, we'll not look at it that way. If your conscience is alive to God, your greatest enemy, when he's in trouble, you'll think, how can I rescue him? How can I help him? I was told of a guard that served in a prison. He developed an attitude towards the prisoners as just terrible. And he had contempt. And then one day he was informed that a loved one he did not know he had was one of the inmates. And now when he went by all of them, he began to hurt for him, because now he saw him differently. This is one of my loved ones. This is my mother's son I did not know I had. Far too often we're able to pay evil for evil because our conscience is really not quite right. If you're able to hold unforgiveness and offense and resentment, it hurts the conscience. And don't you know that as a Christian, the circumstances that God has orchestrated to be in your life, your situation can be anything. But the circumstances that you find yourself in God is using them to preserve you. And circumstances are orchestrated by God to help you and to preserve you. And as a Christian, we ought to allow the Word of God to help us to see. We should look at our circumstances, our surroundings, not as my enemy, but my friend. What are your circumstances? What are your surroundings? God was just as much in fulfilling the purpose in Joseph's life in the pit as he was in the prison, as he was in the palace. And as a Christian, we should look at them not as our enemy, but God has allowed this, and I'm going to know that all things work together for good. And our situation is not our enemy. God, help me to change my attitude towards my surrounding and towards my situation, that I don't begin to have murmuring and complaining. Our personal strength often comes from challenging situations. Most of us, if we're going to grow in the Lord, it doesn't come from enjoyments. Most of our growth comes through opposition. Most of our growth comes through difficult times, and where strength is developed, and we say, I could do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But please don't ignore your conscience. Anytime you pray or you talk to God, it should be a time to look inward to see whether I'm right or wrong. Oh God, let my attitude be right in everything. And you look inward, and please don't ignore your conscience, because your conscience is the instrument that God is going to use by the Holy Spirit to guide you. If you go to prayer and you remember that you have wrong attitudes with someone or a situation, you find an attitude, stop. God, let me have a right attitude towards my situation. Don't ignore your conscience. You build a wall between you and God when there is an offense. And don't waste your energy and your effort. If you ignore your conscience, you may be wasting your time. I've learned from personal experience that any time cannot be the best time for me to pray. Well, I thought it said pray always. Yes. But any time may not be the best time for me to pray. Sometimes I have to make things right so my prayer can be effective. That may take prayer to do so. But he says, if we come to him, I have to examine my own conscience before I pray, and I might have to do some restitution. When your conscience is at its best, you offer your best prayers. Before I pray effectively, I must cancel out offenses. I must shake off grudges. I must shake off unforgiveness. I must shake off unthankfulness. I must shake off murmuring. I must shake off complaining. Can I hear an amen? When offenses come, oh boy, it's easy to lose control. And you're not in a position of strength. With bitterness, you lose control. You're not your best self. When the prodigal son, it says in the scripture, he came to himself. That means there is a self in us that is not our best self. And when he came to himself, he dealt with his conscience. You know, the mailman will not pick up mail if there's not a postage stamp on it. And some of our prayers are not received if we have things that are not right in our heart. This is why we start church with worship. We're trying to prepare our hearts before we go to prayer. And remember, Jesus said, in this world there will be offense. There will be problems. There will be tribulations. But he said, take heart. I've overcome. Take heart means don't hold on to the grudge. Don't hold on to the offense. If offenses come, and they will come, let them go. Let them go. Remember Paul on the island of Patmos? And he reached down to pick up a piece of wood and a snake bit him and he shook it off. That's what we should do with things that offend. How many have had things that you could complain about this week? Yes. The rest of you, I'm praying for honesty. Yes. But shake it off. Don't let it affect you. In this world, it is not possible to live without offense. But it is possible not to hold on to it. And this is why you have to examine yourself. Don't ignore your conscience. Your conscience is the very instrument God wants to use to guide you. It's the antenna to the radio. I'm not saying that the conscience is the voice of God, but it is used by God nonetheless. It's the very instrument used by the Holy Spirit to guide you. It's like a ball. The best player today cannot play without the ball. And the Holy Spirit cannot really deal with you effectively without dealing with your conscience. This is why faith, which we emphasize is very important, is of man's heart. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Faith is born when the heart and the conscience is right. It's a faith that worketh by love. Faith is of man's heart. Faith is something to be saturated in man's spirit. And people, often we look upon pain and injustice. And even myself, the Lord convicted me the other day. You say, this is so simple. But no, my conscience. I was at the bank and I saw someone out front. And I didn't know anything about the person. But my first attitude was, get a job. And the Lord convicted me later. You didn't know that man. You didn't know anything about him. And you were ready to so be with a wrong attitude. I really think I'm right, but that's not the point. My conscience convicted me. And Lord, I want my prayers to work, and I went back, but he was gone. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. If your spirit or conscience is alive for Christ, you would always be there for your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. In Psalms 23:5, remember David had many enemies, many people that offended and were not loyal to David. But David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God can bless you in spite of your enemies. God can bless you in spite of them. But you're not going to enjoy the meal. If you have resentment and unforgiveness and wrongful attitudes that result in the conscience being defiled, I'll set a table before you in the presence of my enemies. That's why Jesus, who always kept a right conscience, I always do those things that please my Father. And even on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What is the way out? How can I get a healthy conscience? Pray for your enemies. Pray for your own attitude that will take a miracle, I agree, but pray for your heart and not your lips. Deep down in your heart, pray for your enemies. And if you choose the path to pray for your enemies, it will take you to many places in the forest, and you'll hear from God a whole lot better. Let me, in wrapping this up, Don't ignore your conscience. Some problems that should have taken a very short time to solve can take a year and much longer because you ignore your conscience. When I look back upon my own life, I don't know if I had a conscience that was different than anyone else's. And I don't mean to infer that. But I remember as a child, when the teacher would give an altar call, I would just begin to weep. I just wanted to cry. And I thought, it happened every time. I thought, I don't want to go. Because every time I go, I just cry like a baby. And this happened. And now when I look back, I realize it was the calling of God on my life. And oh, for me to honor my God, but to honor my conscience. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God." They connect. Think about that. Our heart is the very instrument or substitute, conscience or spirit, where the Holy Ghost, if you ignore it, you can refuse God. And this is why we should always examine our hearts. What does the conscience say? You know, we live in a time where Christians are going and taking classes on how to hear from God, how to hear from God. I think they have some good points. But I find it interesting that Paul the Apostle, when he became converted, he hears from God all the time. He didn't go to no class. He didn't go to no seminar. How did Paul be able? He said, well, it was just God's sovereignty. And no. Don't put everything on sovereignty. Paul heard from God. Unlike others, and I would argue that Paul the Apostle, before he came to Christ, he didn't hear from God. He didn't know Jesus. But when he came and the Lord revealed himself to Paul, Paul immediately begins to hear from God. Why? It's because before Paul became a believer in Christ, he writes and says that, you see, he was a Jew, and he meticulously tried to obey the law and to obey his conscience. He writes that. He says to Timothy, he said, I have always sought to keep a conscience right before God. So he has his conscience in shape. It's ready to go. It just needed Jesus. And now when Jesus is revealed to him, his conscience is already finely tuned. And no wonder he hears from God to a large degree that he did. I believe, and it's not the only thing, but your conscience has much to do with hearing from God. I want to obey God, but he speaks to my conscience. And oh, may I examine myself. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen with some enthusiasm? I don't hear you. If you didn't say amen, I pray your conscience deal with you. Oh. I've been wrestling in my conscience whether I should do this. Because I don't want to dishonor. But I want to honor God, and I don't think I'll be in trouble, though it is usually my habit to check before I do what I'm about to do. But when Brother Skip Kincaid was here, my wife had a bad back, Her back had been hurting for months. And I remember sitting right here, Brother Skip prayed for her. Am I in trouble? It's okay to tell this? I'm in trouble. And she said to me the other day, my back hasn't been hurting. I didn't want to say anything right up front because, you know, adrenaline gets going and you may think God did something and he didn't do it. And then you find out later it wasn't the Lord. It was just you and the adrenaline at the moment. But she said, it's been days now and my back doesn't hurt. Is that still true? Tell everybody I'm not in trouble. I did not mean to dishonor you, honey. How many want to hear from God? Oh, I do. You say, you're being oversensitive. No. No, that's a compliment. Being overly touchy is different. But, oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Debbie, would you come? Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Glory, let me see his face. I forgot the words, but I sing it anyway. In your own life, you're going to be really happy when you hear from God. Nothing will bring more fulfillment to you. Nothing removes the boredom than to hear from the Lord. And oh, may we keep our conscience clear. Don't let me get wrong attitudes. You know, when I was pastoring in White Salmon, we'd get visitors come in. And I sometimes follow up and I would hear, well, we didn't like this, we didn't like that. I couldn't change that. And I began to pray, Lord, I don't know how we're going to grow if these people that come and they find this wrong and that wrong. I can find wrong anywhere I go. And I began to pray, Lord, send someone in that loves us in spite of ourselves. Send someone and give us people like you did to King Saul. You raised up and put the Spirit on them. I want you to pray a prayer. Lord, send in people that will just love us. I'm not justifying where we come short and we do, and that's true in anywhere. But God, give us people that will just love us. Because I've had enough of those that have find faults and find reasons to live. You're going to find it where you go to. I'm going to know what I'm talking about. How many love your kids and you know that, yeah, they got problems, but I love them. Oh, God, give us people that are just, that doesn't mean we're not going to try to improve and do what we can. But God, you're the one that builds the church. Send us people that will just love us. Amen. Would you stand? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, let me keep my heart right, oh God. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our voice to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we love you and we want to see you. And we want, Lord, to keep our hearts right and our spirits right. And oh, Lord Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, create in me a right spirit, oh God. Create in me a right spirit. Lord, those that have ignored their conscience, Paul said, their vessel is like a ship that is wrecked upon the ocean and the violent waves. Lord, he told Timothy to keep a good conscience. Lord, help us not to be one that ignores our conscience. But, oh Lord, hallelujah, let me honor not only my wife, let me honor others. Let me treat them right. Let me have a right spirit towards you, but others, oh God, that my prayers be not hindered. In the mighty name of Jesus. Could you just come and let's stand this morning, and I want to pray and ask God to bless you, and we will go our ways. But would you come and, oh God, create a right spirit in me. Oh, let me hear the voice of my conscience. My conscience may be different than yours. You have to obey yours, and I need to obey mine, and I can't make my conscience your conscience and vice versa. But, oh Lord, let me honor that. Prayer works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reach up and put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, and let us pray one for another. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We pray, Lord, you look at our church and you see us, Lord. And oh, we love you and want to give you glory. But oh God, answer their prayers. Answer their prayers. And Lord, help us to do our part and keep our conscience right, oh God, and not ignore it. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sherry, would you put your hand right here? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for her. And I ask the Holy Spirit. I don't know why you've encouraged me or instructed me to have her hand placed here to pray for her. But I pray for her. And you minister to her in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, give your peace. May we be right with you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise be to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your blessed name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. And may his countenance shine upon you and bring you back safely. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.